From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live.
You know what that means.
John Matlin on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We'll do it live.
Welcome back to the show. We are here at Castleton Corners Pub. So we're going to go into the next segment. There's like all these selfies going on because we're at a bar. I know everyone around the world's like, what is happening in New York? So we have to, guys, we have to go here. So let's jump right into the question of the hour. We're going to start with Jeff. Jeff, what is a female? Answer.
I mean, what is a woman?
Yes, what is a woman?
Very simple, adult human female.
Explain. I need more than that. Scientifically, what is a woman?
Someone with an, was it XY chromosome?
Okay.
No more. According to Cambridge Dictionary, if you identify as a female, you are a female.
That's it. It's right now the definition stands. You have to be an adult who may have been told at birth that you were something else, something along these lines. So consequently, the male definition changed as well. You could have been told at birth that you were a female, but you are an adult who is now a male. At least for now, the first change is adult, because right now it's not just adults that are able to partake in changing their sex, which is very interesting. And it's being told that the doctors and the plastic surgeon, Joe Biden yesterday said at the White House that if you question these doctors and you have a problem with them doing these surgeries, that you are, what is it?
Anti-Semite.
What, is that what he said?
He said you're an anti-Semite.
Oh, God.
Wait, can I say something kind of controversial?
This just got a lot dumber than I could have imagined. Okay,
I really feel that the whole transgender movement, like men becoming women, it's actually a form of sexual appropriation.
You said this last week and you're spot on.
Yeah, it really is. Like, you cannot say that you, like, being a woman is tough. You cannot say as a man that you just want to become a woman. Just like I can't, as a white person, say that I'm suddenly identified as being black.
This was a big argument today. This was a big
You can
today.
Say it, but people don't need to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Or people don't need to assume that you identify as something other than what you present yourself to be.
Now, where does, so if the definition was changed to adult, why are there still people advocating for chemical castration of prepubescent teens? And
it should just be illegal, John. Totally illegal. If you can't buy cigarettes until you're 21 years old, why should you be able to cut off your private parts? It's f***ing insane.
Oh, there's a curse word. That was at what mark? 53.
So, okay. Well, they're making over $50,000, approximately over $50,000 per surgery, per gender surgery. So, yeah, it has nothing to do with money at all. Nothing.
I don't know if you guys saw, or the author of Irreversible Damage, Joe Rogan, she went on.
Yeah,
and I mean, she's talking about how a lot of the people who have gender dysphoria are actually on the spectrum. So it's actually, you're being a predator when you go after these young people and you tell them, actually what's wrong with you is you are in the wrong body, when really they have other issues to work on.
Well, yeah, so that's a big, big thing, is when you tell, and this is why the people are saying it's grooming, when you tell young people, very young people, and you start bombarding them with these things, it gives them a different thought process. Not saying they're not going to get there on their own, they might feel like they are later in life, but when you start telling a five-year-old and a six-year-old, you're not really what you are unless you don't want to be. That is not an adult-formed mind handling such a question or a scenario that is being displayed in front of them, with these teachers that are being told to tell them these things as well. And you don't have to tell your parents. This is another thing. You don't have to tell your parents. We're a safe space, and you can tell us, and we can handle it from here, and we can decide together what you are. That's some messed up stuff if you have a kid. I'm sorry. You send them to school to think that they're going to be safe, and now they're being indoctrinated with this. And this is why it was called the Don't Say Gay Bill, because you're not able to do that, because you're not able to talk about genders and sexuality or anything. You're supposed to just teach the kid. And the crazy thing is, through kindergarten through third grade, and that's what set Florida ablaze with the, quote, Don't Say Gay Bill, which I call the Don't Say Straight Bill.
Yeah, I mean, really, the transgender surgeries, especially when they employ puberty blockers and other things, the core issue is that these are life-altering surgeries. So, I mean, if you remove a breast from, you know, a 13-year-old girl, you know, it's never going to lactate again, no matter what other surgeries come subsequently to that. And if you employ, you know, blockers that would stop a 13-year-old boy from having testosterone and other things, they're never going to become, you know, a man that can, you know, function the way other men do, you know, biochemically ever again. So you're having these children make life-altering decisions at age 12 and 13 when, I mean, a lot of kids in America today haven't even had their first kiss or first sexual experience at these ages, but they can decide whether, you know, in 20 years they want to procreate. It's insane.
Yep.
And it should be illegal. I mean, I think the United Kingdom just made it illegal. So that's not exactly a, you know, right-wing nation by, you know, what we would consider in the United States today. But they decided should be illegal. And I have no idea why the federal government and even state governments have failed to act on that.
Yeah, and that was one of the other things that they said yesterday is, well, this is landmark legislation. It outlaws lynching. I'm sorry. That was always outlawed. That was murder. That's a hate crime. That is everything in the book. And there's not lynchings going on right now. It's very weird, but it's trigger words that trigger and make people feel like we've accomplished something. This is, I don't know if anybody let the Democrats know that has not been a thing for a really long time.
Decades.
He really was also speaking of interracial marriages as if this is such a foreign concept. Meanwhile, it's like, it's 2022.
It's been legal for decades, like exactly. 60, 70 years.
It's crazy.
So you could be gay and you'll be kicked out of a business. And I'm like, what? This is literally all the propaganda and talking points spit out at once. And they said the drag queen that was at the event has a history of saying really weird stuff on Twitter, such as the kids are here to dance and suck a D.
I saw this, yes.
Does that make sense?
Well, they want pedophiles at their events, so it does make sense for them, yes.
Invited to the White House. Well, you have a look.
Evil. I mean, yeah, I mean, the whole MAP movement, I mean, this is the problem when you have acceptance and, you know, we want to accept gays, we want to accept this and that, but then now they want us to accept minor attracted persons, right? Like, this is now a thing, and the pride, they're trying to add it to the pride flag. Listen, if gays don't want to, you know, say, listen, they're not part of us, then I might have to say that I don't really accept the gay movement anymore, because we all agree, like, if you are attracted to kids, like, you don't belong in society. Let's just say that.
I don't think that gay people are the same or agree with pedophiles. They're completely different groups.
They 100% don't.
Who's the head of the walkaway movement? He was
Brandon
on television
Straka.
Last night. Yes. And the walk away movement, he was talking about how everything was disgusting that was going on at the White House.
There is a lot of gay people that have been bombarded. This used to be the LGB community. Remember that. I know it's not too far away. Like, we flash forward to 15 years earlier. Nobody knew about 85 other letters. That's where we're at right now. I'm sorry I did that in the tone of Alanis Morissette getting drowned by, like, a dog. But
it's ironic.
No, that's a different song. But
it's very ironic.
If you look at this, they kept the movement got wide support. There was people that were Republicans. I'm a Republican. I have no problem with gay marriage. So I was always like, whatever. I think they should have the right. It's two people, consenting adults. Then they were like, We're getting some good progress. Let's add the F and T.
But that's the whole thing, John. You give them an inch, they take a mile. So that's the problem with accepting some of these things. It's like now they're saying, like, map people. I'm sorry, but this is what has happened.
That's called pedophilia.
Because we have given them acceptance. And I'm not saying we should hate gay people. I love gay people. I have a lot of gay friends. But we have to draw the line and say, this is where we're not moving any forward. It's done.
But we are drawing the line.
Being attracted to someone of the same gender is not even in the same realm as being attracted to a child.
Being gay is not in the same realm as being transsexual. It's two different
absolutely,
things.
Absolutely, I agree.
Wait, audience question.
Same sex, though.
Yeah, they are pushing the laws right now.
I have not looked. I know that there was there was multiple bills of different things, but I'd have to look into that. I don't know all the details.
And didn't RGB also pass some weird things at the Supreme Court with kids or try to push them? I'm pretty sure she did.
That might have been the one that was in the Balenciaga ad, that court case. It might have been.
No, I'm serious. I have to, like, Google it. Actually,
they referenced that court case.
I mean, there's also been a big push in state legislatures to decriminalize knowingly spreading AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases. And when you look at it, I mean, take the story of the Dominican bodega guy who defended his store and had to be held in Rikers Island. Probably the only guy who's ever had to post bail in the last several years in New York State, right? The guy defended himself from being killed. But you can knowingly spread a lethal disease and not even be charged with a felony really says everything wrong with the way the left views criminal justice in America.
It's crazy.
Well, look at what Fauci's doing. So it doesn't surprise me.
Yes.
Jeff, you have any input before we go to the American doll?
No, what does Fauci have to do with that?
We're going to the American doll. So... the American doll has been long a doll that kids coveted around Christmas time, and now there is a book that teaches them that they could take puberty blockers and all those other things. And actually, I believe it was today, the Guardians of Divinity in New York City went to the American doll, American Girl
it's
doll
American
store.
It's American Girl. Girl. Not American doll. It's American girl.
Yes, but what is a girl?
I know. Exactly.
I'm not a girl, but not yet a woman. So how do we feel that these books are coming with these dolls and kids are being subjected to learning all about the ways that they can change their sex?
I just saw a TikTok video, and it was some trans activist, and... they took off her nipples, and she has ghost nipples. So she's still her nipples still like when she's making out with whatever whoever the hell she's making out with. She gets turned on, and her nipples are still like but they're gone.
I saw this
Why
video.
Are you cutting off nipples?
So this is really
Why?
Weird.
That makes no sense.
I saw this video, and it had multiple people speaking about their personal experience with having gender reassignment surgery and. All of the experiences were bad, and all of these people, sadly, were very young. And this just reinforces how disturbing it is that they're forcing these surgeries on young people, or at least, quote unquote, encouraging these surgeries for young people when young people are, their brains are transitioning, they're still growing, they're still changing. They need to speak with a therapist or a psychiatrist. They don't need to be going through these life-altering surgeries.
With that being said, I do think nipples are pointless.
Okay, we're deviating. I'm waving the flag. I'm waving it.
I think nipples are fantastic. I'm going to offer a dissenting view.
I agree.
So I'm waving the flag. Guys, I'm waving the flag frantically. I'm waving it frantically. Listen, at the end of all of this, there's a lot that you could discuss, and we could discuss it forever, but we're in some troubling times. And if they've already added the plus, I think there's an I also. Isn't there? Does anyone know what the I stands for?
Indigenous.
Are you serious?
Isn't it LGBT?
Intersex.
That's what it is?
Intersex.
LGBTQI+ or whatever is what it is, isn't it?
For those of you who don't know, that the traditional gay rainbow flag is now considered to be very reactionary and conservative. So the modern day flag that you're supposed to have as a left-wing activist has a trans triangle. And it's recently been modified to have a brown stripe through the trans triangle because the brown stripe stands for Black Lives Matter.
Well, they added that to the movement. Correct.
I thought that it was IPOC, like Indigenous and People of Color. No?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. There's like a million letters to that thing.
Where
crazy.
Does it stop? There is.
No.
Guys, there's no D. And that would stand for drag. And that's why I don't understand why drag queens that can be both straight or gay have anything at all to do with the LGBT community. We have to take a break. We will be right back in 1 second.
Rick Mann on TNT Radio.
The news in the UK is dominated by the weather. All flights have now been suspended at Stansted Airport. So that's a whole airport has been closed down. There's apparently 10 inches or 10 centimeters of snow. You would have thought they would have been on the ball with that one, with gritters and snowplows, etc. But no, the whole airport is closed down. I understand if there's hazardous conditions. For example, there's a runway that's completely bogged down with snow, you have to cancel the flights. But for the whole country to grind to a halt over a drop temperature is insane. Closing the schools, closing the roads, closing the trains, cancelling the flights, disruption, disruption, disruption. I don't know what people did before this year. I mean, like, I've lived through 49 winters now, you know, and nothing ever really ground to a halt. I think I can remember my school closing maybe twice in all the time that I was in it because of weather, but who knows? Maybe it's the global warming. I don't know.
Rick Mann is locked and loaded on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I've never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I've never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization. The left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What was more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
What is your name?
What is it?
John Madlin.
Don't you forget it.
John Madlin on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We are back here at Castle and Corners Pub in Staten Island, New York. So this is going to be an interesting one, to say the least. Don't spit your drink all over. Okay, don't do it. So we were on break discussing... Oh, man. We were discussing... Not that. We were discussing drag queens on Nickelodeon, and we have now pulled up the clip. This is The Meaning of the Pride Flag featuring drag queen Nina West from 1 year ago. This is for children on Nickelodeon. And remember, your mics are active during this, so try not to say anything ridiculous that'll get me kicked off the air.
It's Pride, everybody!
Every color on the Pride Flag is a symbol in the sky.
Pride!
To should be me.
This is
every
what
time
the children
that
are listening
see,
to
that's
at home while you're in the other room drinking wine.
Red means life because living is a gift. Orange means healing and we have to persist in working to heal the world.
I've heard enough. We can't play the whole entire thing. I just cannot believe a 6 or a 7-year-old is trying to watch Tommy Pickles, and that's what they're going to get hit with. Again, not what is supposed to be put on to your child. If you want to teach your child, you can. Oh, God. All right, so we're going to switch the files. We're going to switch the topic, and we're going to go to Carry Lake in Arizona, still waging war. And the courts may very well hear her case if they don't dismiss it come, I believe, Monday. Jeff, you want to start?
They're going to dismiss it. I don't see any judge in the United States willing to having the balls to do this. The election, they know the media will come after them. There's no incentive for him to do it whatsoever.
Lauren?
Change my mind.
Anyone, Jim?
You know, I think the issue is this, is that, you know, can courts ex post facto, you know, ask for a redo of an election? And obviously, you know, it's not to say that it's never happened before. I mean, in New York State after 9/11, right, we had a primary that day and the election was canceled. Obviously, it was a terrorist attack. It couldn't continue. And it was held on another day. So the question for the court is, were the failings of the Arizona boards of elections, which failed to have ballots that printed properly, enough of a defect in the election to take a very drastic measure, which would be to essentially have a redo and a special election. You know, in my opinion, I think the attorney general candidate had the strongest case because he only lost by 500 votes. And, you know, from the evidence that was presented to the court, where you had whole Republican precincts where ballots weren't being printed properly and read by machines and in the voting process, the defects in the voting process really credibly could have overturned the result, whereas I think Carrie Lake has a weaker case. But that being said, I do think we need to fight for free and fair elections in America, and I don't think anything that happened could possibly excuse the idea that a month after Election Day, the Maricopa County Board of Elections can't tell us who won the election, and that's an outrageous situation. I think it fosters a lot of distrust in the system, and I think conservatives around the country should fight for fair elections, free elections, and elections where you don't have mail-in ballots and chain of custody issues, ballot harvesting machines. You know, yeah. I mean, in California, you can literally pick up and harvest a ballot 2 weeks after Election Day. I mean, this stuff is just outrageous. And what can you do? As a Republican operative, you either learn how to out-harvest the other side or you fight for changes. But, you know, the status quo can't stand. Something has to change.
Agreed. Do you have any take on this?
Like I said this before, like Republicans were bringing knife to a gunfight. And like to piggyback off what was just said, like we have this temptation of like we want to cheat better now. And that's a dangerous place to be as a country, that we feel the only way we can win is to cheat better. And I don't know. I mean, Elon Musk can put a poll on Twitter and probably have a better result, like accuracy, than us going to the polls, paying millions and millions of dollars for all these poll workers. His thing on Twitter is probably more accurate.
If it's a verified account and they verify your ID, it was 100%. Well, it's questionable. It could be. But I'm saying if they actually verified everyone that has a blue check mark with ID, that would be a more accurate poll than anything that exists currently.
I mean, the bots are essentially ballot boxes, so that's
correct.
My opinion on
that. That's why you have to be verified with identification.
Yeah, but you
which
kinda
brings the obvious answer here. We need to have IDs involved with voting. I mean, this is
that's
to
racist.
A point. That this is to a point. This is to a point where I can't hear that anymore, because the thought that there's a bunch of old white men, I'm going to use their line, there's a bunch of old white men pushing the idea that minorities are not capable enough functioning human beings to go and get an identification, that is the most racist, fundamentally racist statement you can ever make. And the old white men are doing it. And you know what? Everyone's like, yes, the guys that I hate, they're right about me. I don't know what that means. I don't know.
Wait, do you need an ID to put through your taxes?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. I think that's racist. Can we get rid of that, please?
ID for
that is
lotto,
extremely racist.
ID to enter the bar. ID to drink. ID
no,
to.
I don't care about that. Just taxes.
If it's listen, if I have to use my ID to get tax to put through my tax form, then they should need their ID to vote. I'm sorry, but if you're paying taxes, you have an ID, and therefore
and
you
everybody should vote.
Everybody should be paying some form of taxes. Yes or no? Even if you take welfare,
theft.
You pay taxes, right?
Taxation's theft.
Well, yeah, but if I am paying taxes and I need an ID, so the whole
argument
falls apart.
I get it. We're in the system. We're paying taxes. And yes, everybody that goes to vote should have an identification. There's no excuse.
And if one thing was racist, it's me having to pay taxes. That's my point. That's racist. Not
you should
the other.
File that one.
I know, right? What should I file it under? I mean, you know more than I do with the law. How can we make that racist?
Well, I mean, really, the bottom line is that in a lot of blue states, there's no integrity in the voter rolls. So, I mean, there was a New York Post article several weeks ago that there was a man in Manhattan who was a green card holder but not a U.S. citizen and not entitled to vote. And he, for whatever reason, checked the citizen box when he registered to vote like 20 years ago. And he basically sent a letter to the board because he, I guess, wisened up and realized he shouldn't have been voting for 15 years. And he said, hey, I shouldn't be on the voter rolls. Like, I'm actually not a citizen yet. And they took the guy off, but he had voted several times. And he he had just come to this country, didn't know the rules, and I guess he broke the law. But, I mean, the idea that that can happen and that it takes a guy, you know, because for one honest guy, there's probably 10 people doing it knowingly and not admitting it. So the idea that that can happen with no checks and balances against, for example, there's E-Verify. So the New York City Board of Elections today employs 30,000 poll workers, all of whom have to pass an E-Verify check. You have to have a Social Security number. The federal government has to say you're authorized to work in the United States because otherwise they'd be committing a federal crime. The idea that that technology exists for the 30,000 people employed by the board but not the 4 million registered voters is ridiculous. It's like a technological, logistical thing which could be solved immediately. I mean, UPS and FedEx track millions of packages every day. So the idea that the federal government and state governments in the United States can't figure out who's eligible to vote and synchronize federal data with local data is really, honestly, just what you would call legally a willful blindness. It's an intent to look the other way when you have thousands upon thousands of people who are not eligible to vote voting. I mean, I remember a few years ago, there was a Democratic primary in northern Manhattan between Charlie Rangel, who was a 40-year incumbent. Or I'm sorry, Charlie Rangel had just retired. So there was a primary between Keith Wright, who was his anointed successor, and Adriano Espaillat, who happened to be a Dominican politician. And there was a group called Dominicanos USA, who had millions of dollars in funding from God knows where. And they were tasked with registering voters in northern Manhattan in these Dominican neighborhoods. And they essentially, anecdotally, from what I understand, were passing out registration forms that pre-checked, I'm a citizen, didn't even have voters fill that out themselves. And they registered tens of thousands of people, you know, and they can't all have been citizens. And the funny thing is when you talk to Keith Wright privately, because, you know, he knows he lost based on that, what happened, you know, he'll say, listen, I don't know how you go from the lowest voter turnout city in the highest unless there was voter registration fraud. But he can never say that, right? He can't go out and publicly say that because it violates Democratic Party orthodoxy. But this stuff happens every day in New York State. And until there's a federal solution or more political will, it's not going to get solved, you know?
Remember this. Right now in California, everybody gets a ballot sent to their house. They don't request it. And some people get two, and they say the QR code and the barcode will make sure only one is counted. It was our mistake. Oops, we sent out an extra 15,000 ballots to that neighborhood. If you could send that out to everybody, can't you send out some paperwork to get an identification?
Actually, I have a better idea.
Go for it.
Well,
I'm all
teacher,
about ideas.
Well, I'm a as you guys know, and instead of talking about butt plugs and dildos, why don't we actually get kids an ID while they're in high school? So they have an identification, so when they graduate high school, they can go out and vote.
That would be interesting.
How about that? You know, and people want to say it's racist. I agree. So why don't we fix the system? Systematic racism, right? Let's bring it down to the public school system in this country. Every public school student gets a ID and learns how to vote. How about that?
It would be interesting. And it, You don't have any take?
I mean, it makes common sense, John. It's not interesting. It's like...
No, it is. I'm about ideas.
I mean, I'll comment on what you just said, which is about universal mailed ballots. I mean, here's the problem with that. It's a chain of custody issue. So in 2020, the governor of Nevada, Governor Sisolak, who was thankfully just voted out of office, but he was the governor, and, you know, former President Trump used to call him a clubhouse guy, which he very much was. He was a machine Democratic politician. And he just woke up one day and with a stroke of a pen, he decided every registered voter in Nevada gets a ballot mailed to them. Here's the problem with that. These are transient. Las Vegas, Nevada is a very transient place. There are apartment houses that literally were mailed 18 ballots. Okay? And all it took was a signature and a stamp to turn a vote back. So the idea that the Democratic Party at least didn't create the conditions for fraud in 2020 is a joke. I mean, they clearly knowingly put millions and millions of paper ballots with no chain of custody out into the wild, and they did it by design. And it was totally illegal and unconstitutional. I mean, the U.S. Constitution says state legislatures, not a governor who has COVID power, decide the parameters of an election, and that's what happened, and that's why we had so many problems in the 2020 election.
It's funny how that changed everything, those COVID powers. Everything changed.
Almost like they wanted it.
One would say they would have held an event with the number 201 in front of it or at the end of it, and they would have planned it all out in 2019.
All the militaries of the world come at the same time? No, that's...
I think that the case might be heard. I listened in. There's too much attention on it, and there's too much evidence floating around. That's the thing about social media and everyone having a camera. You cannot control the narrative the way they once did. So things are somewhat, to some degree, changing. More gifts for the party, for the children.
Yeah.
Love it. So now we're gonna go start on this because I know we're gonna have to take a break shortly, but let's go to the Twitter files. So effectively, Trump was kicked off by a bunch of activist employees.
And CIA spooks.
So let's open letter from the Washington Post signed by 300 Twitter employees. And putting the pressure on Dorsey and the rest of them to do this, even though all of the people involved the whole way said no, there was no term of service broken. There was nothing that you could even say was done in code. It was impossible to do it. They said it's a clear case of he can stay on Twitter. And within hours, they got that man off of Twitter. And that man was the sitting president of the United States because they felt he might incite violence, or in the words of Chuck Schumer, he might incite an erection. Adrian, what's your take?
I mean, it just reinforces what people on the right have been saying ever since that day. And it also shows the power that the Democrat Party has over all social media, and it's really terrible. They control all of the mainstream media, they control all of social media, and that leads to people becoming brainwashed because they're only seeing one perspective all of the time, and they're constantly being bombarded with this propaganda, and it's really horrible. You need to have discourse where people can
give different... Like I had in that Twitter exchange that we had on earlier.
Absolutely.
Like, that's how people can start to see eye to eye. They hate that thought.
100%. You need to have different perspectives. You need to allow free speech and allow people to say opinions that you may not necessarily agree with. That's the only way that you're able to see all different views and formulate your own opinion as opposed to regurgitating what you've been fed.
I love Adrienne. I love talking to her because she always sees the best in people.
She's going to have camel flu before you, so be careful.
She probably will because she has a lot more friends than I do, but she makes a great point. 35%
chance she's going to kill you.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
You might as well just go seal the doors at your home.
I might as well just go on Twitter then, right?
That's where you shall live.
But the thing is, we have to reach out to people, and this is where I think sometimes I get into like my own little headspace. Like, and Adrian always brings me out of it. Like, these people that we view as the enemy, they're people that could be reached. And they're people that we need to pray for, because honestly, a lot of them are being spiritually attacked. Like, this is a demonic entity that is really going into their heads. And like, we need to be the bigger person and reach out to them and inform them in a nice way and pray for them. I pray for AOC every night.
Oh,
and maybe people want to, I know Jeff, you know.
Why?
Because she is someone that is a lost child.
Evil.
Exactly why she needs prayers. She is a lost soul. We can't forget that.
So I don't view it from a religious point of view. I view it as, you're a human, I'm a human, we need to have intelligent discourse, and that's the only way to get through to people. As much as you want to pray for people, and I think that that's a wonderful thing, I think you need to have a conversation, and that's the only way that you're going to change opinions.
And you can't assume that the people you are talking to know everything you know. Mm-hmm. That's one mistake people with our line of thought do. They assume everyone knows the information they know. That's not the case. People have other interests and other things that they're worried about.
Yep, and that's why you have to stay patient. They will attack you personally. They will call you names, and they will evade talking about anything of substance, but you have to keep explaining to them, because I figured everyone knew about Project Veritas. They didn't, and now we're going to take a quick break.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The big news is what's coming to the United States Christmas week. Now, in the old days, something like this would probably be looked upon as, okay, we've got to put up with this. Now, though, it is really going to impact travel. It's going to be impacting plane flights. We are talking about the entire Arctic dumping in to the heartland of the United States, December 20 through 25th. With it, probably a widespread blizzard-like storm from Nebraska through the Midwest and into the Appalachians. Along the East Coast, it's likely to turn to rain and then a flash freeze after as it gets very, very cold. The question is, how much disruption is this going to cause? Because what's happening is it's going to get so cold in Texas. We're expecting temperatures to the teens into Houston, single digits in Dallas. No, that's not as bad as February 21, but it's bad for around this time of the year. How much disruption is that going to cause in the energy markets? And that is yet to be determined. This is TNT Weather and Climate Watchdog. I know, usually I'm Climate and Weather Watchdog, but I keep getting those two dogs mixed up. Asking you to enjoy the weather, it's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative, this is Viewpoint.
For decades, senior government and intergovernmental organization officials have peddled fear with climate change alarmism. In June 1989, Noel Brown, director of the New York Office of the United Nations Environment Program, said that governments had a 10-year opportunity to arrest the greenhouse effect before it went beyond human control. He claimed that entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the warming trend was not stabilized by the year 2000. In reality, global carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels and industry were 62% higher in 2021 than in 1989, and sea level has barely changed.
This is
TNT Radio's John Matlin.
You know what that means.
John Matlin on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Get on with it.
Bad to the bone. That's how bad Adrian is. We are back here at Caston Corners Pub. Adrian's bad to the bone. And we're going to go to something that I really want to talk about. I'm going to start with Jeff. Sam Bankman-Fried is arrested. Will he join the other crypto giants that are now dead? And will he kill himself? What is your guess?
I actually think he's going to be okay. He'll live. He'll get like a nice 8-year sentence.
Facing over 100 years.
He is the establishment's lackey. So he's going to get a sweetheart deal, just like Epstein did the first time. And if he f***s up again...
Look at that. Another bleep.
Oh, no!
Look at that.
Uh-oh.
It's all right.
I know. Have, like, a if he messes up again, he's going to get...
He's gonna get axed.
Axed in jail.
What is your take, Lauren?
First off, I think that he's a fraud, and he's also a fraud vegan because there's no way that someone is that fat eating plant-based. So this guy, I'm sorry, if you believe
something in the seed oils.
That too, but I mean, the dude just looks like you can't actually believe that he ever had money. I'm sorry. Adrienne's a vegan. She's like the only, you know, Republican vegan I know, and she looks amazing. She's skinny. This dude looks like such a, like, he looks like he smells.
He does. He looks like he smells.
Look at a picture of him, and he smells like, I don't even know how to explain
it. I want to know, actually, this is really bad, and it's going to make someone puke in here, but I want to know what that polyamory room smelled like afterwards.
Oh. And why were we not invited?
Oh! Whoa! Listen. You want to sleep with Sam Bankman-Fried and the show, and Harry Styles in a skirt?
Listen, I mean, I don't want to get too graphic, but
no, don't. I'm waving the flag. Warning! Shark infested waters.
There's no way that he does anything for anyone, either in FTX or in a bedroom. That it just doesn't exist. This guy has zero. Doesn't have BDE, okay? Like, I don't want to say it, but...
I'm going to just say that his girlfriend reminds me of Gollum from Lord of the Rings, and the Bitcoin is her precious. Jinx, buy me a beer. Oh, my God. Jim, what's your take? Is he making it through the Southern District of New York, or is he going to face
You know, right now he's in a Bahamian jail that's supposedly rat and cockroach infested, which is really where he should be. But, you know, it's funny that I was reading a news article about it today, and they were saying there was a pastor, sort of phony pastor from Georgia, who was like a child molester, and the guy was a total nightmare of a human being, but he actually waived his extradition rights because he had such a miserable experience in the same Bahamian jail that Sam Bankman-Fried has been in. So I take somewhat comfort that he's not in a good place in this Bahamian prison. But that being said, that this is millennial, you know, get-rich-quick scheme gone wrong. I mean, I think you've seen enormous amounts of venture capital funding going into cryptocurrency or the latest food delivery app. And the fact is, the capital isn't following the profits. I think the tech sector is facing a market correction, and there's been a lot of fraud in the process. I mean, it's sort of the fire festival equivalent of the cryptocurrency world. You know, where you just had this social media hype and liberal media hype surrounding this thing that's really a bit of a Ponzi scheme. I mean, no, you know, the jury's out on whether crypto is real. But I mean, this company was certainly fake, even if crypto is real. So I think you're going to see sort of the capital markets getting back to reality. You know what I mean? You actually have to produce some value in order to return your investors' money. And this guy certainly wasn't doing that.
What's your take, Adrian? Is he going to survive the Southern District of New York, or is he going to face the Southern District of New York treatment for one Jeffrey Epstein? I think that it's going to be a Maxwell situation where they just make sure everything stays sealed, and they arrested him the day before he was supposed to talk to the U.S. House Financial Committee. Why not let him talk and then arrest him right afterward? There's a reason, if you ask me, but what's your take?
100%. I agree with you, but as far as the fire festival thing, I'm picturing him in a FEMA tent right now, and I think that might be better than the living conditions that he's in.
The one weird thing is that I was reading that he's starting a new token to pay back the people that he lost. That, I mean, the whole thing, I swear, if you Google this, he's literally starting a new token. What is this? What are they going to call it? Like the fire token? Or
like all you got to do...
I don't know, but with Fire Festival, they promised everyone the next year that they would give them festival tickets for like the following year and some other type of compensation. And so that sounds
Wasn't that Ja Rule's show?
Yes, it was.
Okay, yes, that's right. Ja Rule is in the club. What would I do without my baby?
I have a question for you. I have a question for you now.
Yes.
Would you invest in his next venture?
I would absolutely put $1 in just to say I bought a Sam Bankman-Fried coin.
Yeah, I would do the same. I would do the same.
You know, it goes to show you, and I say this a lot, but a smart man told me a long time ago that the internet is the most fraudulent place on earth, and it's really true. I mean, you can be anybody or anyone on the internet, and people will believe you. You know, I mean, there are these young Instagram influencers taking private jet selfies in a rental
of
a fake private jet.
It's
and pretending
sect.
That they're wealthy. And, you know, the fact is Sam Bankman-Fried is a scalable version of that. And these people are faking it till they make it on the internet. And people just got to wisen up, you know, to the new reality.
You know what I'm told, Jim? I'm told by the Twitter trolls that I am just some loser on the internet that's an X-ray tech that lost his job and I'm a right-wing nut. And nothing I did was real. That's what they're purchasing. You know how I handle that. I say, I have done more for what I believe in, even though I lost my election, because they love to go with it. So I say, yes, I lost my election. I only got 22% of the vote. Now they've already been disarmed. And I was like, some people lose a lot before they win. Totally cool with that. And I was like, it doesn't shatter my world. However, I've done more than you have for your cause sitting on Twitter behind a cartoon picture of a cat. So, but the internet is fake because some people really think that that cat is burying turds. Get it? Litter box? Turds.
I mean, look, there are two separate issues. You can be very successful on Twitter and be a real person. Or you can be very successful on Twitter and not be a real person. I mean, in your case, you ran for office. I mean, you didn't win, but you petitioned. You got on the ballot. And you got some people to go out and support you. And that's what America is all about. But, you know, I mean, I remember there was a guy when I was working on a city council race in Harlem. There was a guy who was the guy had the best resume anybody could ever had. He was like chief counsel to Success Academy in Harlem. The guy had a $4,000 suit. Brilliant guy. Debated very well. And I'm at the Board of Elections, you know, around midnight, filing petitions for a candidate.
I know that feeling.
And I'm there, and one of the, you know, I was friendly with one of the employees there, you know, Matt.
Blind Walter?
And a guy, his name is Matt Graves, lovely individual. But you know, Matt just goes, laughing. And I'm like, "What, Matt, what's so funny?" And he goes, no, that guy, the Success Academy guy, just called me. He said, am I on the ballot? I filed my campaign finance paperwork. Somebody told me I'm not on the ballot. Well, did he get any signatures to run? He said, no. I filed with the campaign finance board. So the guy was running around saying he was running for something, and he never got on the ballot. Yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, all I'm trying to say is that, you know, listen, Andrew Yang had 1.4 million Twitter followers. He was verified, and he came in, I don't know, third or fourth place for mayor. Eric Adams had 29,000 Twitter followers. You know, he probably had an egg on his profile picture. You know, he just wasn't a social media guy. But you know what he had? He had every labor union in New York City. He had, you know, black homeowners who were 64 years old living out in Jamaica, Queens, and never sent a tweet in their life. So it's not that it's not real, and it's not that it's not a great tool, but it distorts reality is the issue.
True. I think Sam Bankman-Fried is going to get the Maxwell treatment in closing for that section. I do want to go. I don't think they can kill him. They're like, damn it, we already used the kill card on Epstein. Now,
McAfee?
Yeah, but different. Not the Southern District of New York again. I mean,
I
what's
think that
going
he's
on?
Running for office next, if you ask me. But
oh man, so let's talk about the border, okay? What we watched happen at the border was about 2,000 people just walk across. Our border is Swiss cheese, and everyone enters our what?
Our border is more secure than it has ever been
in the history
of
like
time.
Ever.
That's because I'm being a right-wing maniac,
Biden.
Right?
He'll tell you.
Wait, I've recently changed my view on the border, though.
Oh, God.
So I now am for open borders. I say this only because things are going so bad in this country that I need a way out when things go down. So I am now for open borders.
Whoa. No, that is one way, the border. You can come in. You can't come out that way.
No, you go out the other way. You're going
to
well,
be... That's what we need to change.
The roach-infested Sam Bankman-Fried
treatment. Emergency exit. That's what we need.
But wait, let me give you some numbers. So there was a study done between the years of 2010 through 2016, and they went through everybody that was either arrested or currently serving a sentence and in prison that were non-citizens. Some of those people came in as early as 1964, and here are the numbers, ladies and gentlemen. 505,400 assaults, 133,800 sex offenses, 33,300 homicides, 24,200 kidnappings, and 1,500 acts of terrorism.
That sounds like racist propaganda. That's what that sounds like.
I mean, that is good to go with the default.
It sounds like camel flu.
Well, I
thought that was sexist.
I assure you that there will be people with camel flu entering through our southern border. Reminder, everybody, during COVID's height, people came over from Canada. They crossed the northern border into someone's backyard who is on the border, and they were detained, and it was a big deal. If they just got on a boat and went to Mexico on a cruise and then walked across, they'd be given a cell phone, and then Governor Abbott would send them to New York City on a bus.
And they could stay at a hotel that would cost us $400 a night, but they could stay there free.
Interesting.
Because that makes sense.
It
How do I become an immigrant?
You're working on it. You just have to really make your case to the Mexican government and Justin Trudeau. I honestly think if I tried to go to Canada, I think as I got to the border, they'd look at my passport and they'd be like, Lord Trudeau sends his regards, and they would detain me.
Can I be real with you for a second? Mexico has the largest number of Americans going there in like forever. So like more people are going to Mexico than ever before because people see the writing on the wall of like, I need to get out of this country. And that's sad.
I'm going to stay in this country and I'm going to kick some serious ass.
Yeah.
Until, of course, I get camel flu and die in May.
Yeah, you know,
camel toe flu.
It's interesting you said that, Lauren. I mean, you know, the benefits of being in America is that it's a pretty, it's a country without a lot of corruption, right? You don't have to pay a police officer if you get pulled over.
Yeah.
Well, at least, like, historically, the narrative of the American dream is you're in a country where there's law and order, it's relatively safe, you don't get extorted if you run a business, you know. A lot of the problems that occur in the third world don't happen here. Of course, that's changing a lot, and the people who live here are changing a lot because of the problems at our southern border. But the irony of what you just mentioned is now, I mean, what the heck are the benefits of paying, you know, 50% of your income as an American citizen? I mean, you could just be a digital nomad in Bolivia. You know, you get a 2% effective tax rate. You know, you're paying $400 a month for a penthouse and some security guarded building. You know, and now with the millennial laptop workforce, why the heck would you want to, you know, pay all the taxes to not have a country when you can just do it at a tenth of the cost and live where, you know, a lot of these immigrants came from in the first place, you know?
Very, very, very interesting concept. And it's true. And that's why, you know, Sam Bankman-Fried could have been anywhere in the world at that point doing his thing. He should have just been somewhere where they couldn't take him to our country if he was smart enough. But what we're seeing at our border, not even that long ago, a bunch of people charged our border agents waving a ginormous flag. I don't remember which country it was, but they physically attacked our border agents. So that's technically an invasion. That's an act of war by people that are waving another country's flag, attacking our country security forces as they come in. Did you guys know about that incident? Big flag. I think it was like 30 people.
What country?
That I'm going to have to Google, and there's just not enough time.
I mean, you do make a good point. Like, I mean, any terrorist from the Middle East or anyone at all can come through that border and bring bombs. They can bring anything with them. And I think that we're not looking at that as a real threat. That could be the next 9/11.
Okay, here's Adrian.
And what you just said was that they were attacking the border agents with this flag?
Yes.
Why are the border agents not taking action against them?
Because that would be racist.
Absolutely, of course.
Just think about it.
You know, I would say, I would say really, if you look at the root of this problem, a lot of it has to do with our system of laws. I mean, yes, if we had more border security, we'd solve some of the problem. I actually think President Trump was 100% on the Remain in Mexico policy, because the idea that you can come here and claim political... Because, look, Mexico has problems, but by global standards, it's not a particularly dangerous country. It's more dangerous than the United States is, but, I mean, it's not the type of place where, you get killed for being part of an ethnic tribe. You know, you're not in Rwanda, okay? And these people will come from a place like Rwanda, they'll get to Mexico, and then they'll say, okay, well, I need to claim asylum in the United States. But legally, there's something called a safe third country principle, which is that, you know, okay, well, you may have feared for your life over in Rwanda because you're part of the Hutu tribe, whatever the case may be, but they weren't going to go kill you in Mexico because you're part of that tribe, right?
So I'm going to have to cut you off because you're going down a great path, but I can't because we're running out of time. All good things must come to an end. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here at Castle and Corners Pub. This is TNT Radio. Follow us on all platforms. Follow me. We the People are the News. And we will see you next week right here on TNT Radio.live.